And good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
And my name is Ryan Schwenk. I'm the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan.
So there's a lot going on in the world right now, but what we wanted to look at is what's going on in the Pioneer world. And when we're talking about worlds, we're talking about planes. So welcome back to another episode of our, what are we calling it? Planes of Pioneer series. Yes. So this is a little bit more of a, you know, game design introspective kind of episode. We kind of look at, you know, we talk about Pioneer as a very unique format in that it really gets to tell stories that other formats don't quite get to do. So maybe Standard does get to do this, and that, you know, you're playing Standard, this is the Standard set, and you're playing the deck of that Standard. So you're playing the food deck because that's what's in food. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Pioneer, you've got a big enough card pool that you've got these stories from many different planes kind of mixing together, giving their own mechanical identities, their own color identities. You know, what they bring to the table is very different across these planes. And you kind of get to take that all together and mishmash them in a way that's only really possible in this perfect, like, power level of Pioneer. You know, you can't do that in Modern because you're not going to ever kind of have a flavorful mechanic when a more powerful instance exists. So there's no flavor to Lightning Bolt compared to, hey, I'm playing Harnessed Lightning because I can do that since I'm an energy deck, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the great thing. I think if you have to describe Pioneer as any type of format, it is a flavor format. And it's chock full of flavor.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean we're looking at this as, you know, non-serious players. You know, most of the time we're a pretty competitive podcast. But this is something fun that we'd like to do, is kind of look at individually, hey, what does this plane give us? What does this plane contribute to Pioneer? And what do we like about this plane in general? You know, this may be a plane that we're expecting to go back to in the future, and we'd like to talk about what do we expect to see in the future when we come back to this plane, and what do we want to see it bring back to Pioneer?
Mm-hmm. And just like you said, you know, we try to do the competitive podcasting whenever we can, but now that all competitive events have been canceled for the foreseeable future.
Yikes, yeah.
I think this is a perfect, you know, topic to kind of talk about, you know.
Well, I can tell you the one thing we've got is we've got new cards coming, not to that distant future. You know, by the time this podcast is out, you guys might be looking at a spoiler or two for the new set. So that's exciting. And hopefully that set's not going to step on this set's theme, which is we are talking about the Plane of Zendikar.
Yes. So today we'll be covering Battle for Zendikar, as well as Oath of the Gatewatch. And if we want to, I guess we can kind of talk a little bit about cards that have been printed in core sets that kind of have a Zendikar feel to them. So
yeah, and you know, I also like to bring up what happened in the first Zendikar set and kind of tie in, like, hey, here's something I wish that we had in Pioneer from that set. Or, you know, if we revisit it, I would love to see us go back to XYZ.
Yeah, that'll be the last part, I think.
I know, that's the part I'm most excited about.
Our predictions. We'll wait on that. Yeah.
So, how did you feel about Zendikar when you were you playing Standard at the time?
Well, I was playing Standard. I never really got a chance to buy into the original Zendikar block. I think that was just when I was starting to get back into Magic, and I'd played some sealed tournaments. You know, maybe like the pre-release or something like that. Very few packs. And then Rise of Eldrazi came out, and I thought that was an awesome set, but I never really played it. So I never really got to play with the Eldrazi. So to have another chance to play with the Eldrazi, I was kind of excited.
Okay, so you were excited about Oath of the Gatewatch, Battle for Zendikar?
Yeah, as far as the Eldrazi. I wanted to be able to play Eldrazi in, you know, Standard.
Yeah, I know the hype was definitely there. For anyone playing Standard at the time, you know, this is the first time. This was before returns were quite as popular of a thing. You know, we'd never returned to Innistrad at the time, never returned to Ravnica twice. You know, we had done it once, but that was the kind of the exception. So people were really excited about, like, hey, we loved Return to Ravnica. They brought back everything good Ravnica did. And this was their first real foray into, hey, let's return to a set and see how horribly we could ruin it.
Ingest was the really bad thing.
You know, I think that there were a lot of mechanics from that set that I thought were some of the worst handled mechanics of all time.
But, like, I felt like there's some really good cards, too, as far as, like, they balanced out the Eldrazi. much yes. better than they did in Rise of the Eldrazi. I mean, Emrakul of Aeon's Storm was so broken. or any of the other ones with well, like Annihilator 4.
So that is kind of where I wanted to tie back to, though, is you know, I had this whole rant about like, oh, it's so bad. But I actually looked, you know, when I was doing some research for this mm-hmm. episode, I looked back at what the top decks are right now, and I feel like every single top deck right now has pieces coming from this block. Like, yeah. I did not expect that. There are blocks that can be completely missed by, you know, some deck or another, but the only real one I can think of right now that doesn't play a Zendikar card is Spirits. And usually it's something, it's not like, oh, here's the negate version that came from Zendikar. Mm-hmm. It's usually something pretty impactful, you know, Gideon in all of the white devotion decks. Well, yeah. I don't know if I want to name them all right off the bat, you know, ruin the surprise, but maybe let's talk about Gideon, since I think that's one that should be immediately
spring to
mind.
Before we get into the cards, let's talk about what specifically does Zendikar bring to Pioneer. Like, what, like we always talk about, like, what kind of archetypes or, you know, what kind of strategies does the black bring? Like, okay. I would say, like I said, I started off with Eldrazi. That's probably one of the biggest things that it brings to Pioneer. There's a lot of playable Eldrazi cards, and I think that they will become more playable when we get more pain lands. So
there are definitely, and I do think that was something I was noticing. I was like, you know, that feels like it's a card that could see play, but it's being held back by not having enough colorless mana costs.
Yeah, so like the Displacer or you know, Reality Smasher, you know, all those cards. I think that was one unique thing that Battle for Zendikar Black brought to Pioneer.
Certainly. And, you know, I think it tried to bring lands matter. I don't know if it succeeded all that well on that.
Yeah.
And that almost does kind of go to my point of that, you know, I don't feel like they did a great job of bringing the themes we wanted to see, but some of the individual card power levels did enough to show an impact on the Pioneer format.
Yeah, there wasn't really any broken Landfall cards in this, you know, set. There was no Lotus Cobra.
Yes, Landfall is one of the mechanics that people were most excited about coming back. You know, it's something that people loved in Zendikar, and when I was talking about some of the mechanics they handled worst, I think that Landfall fits into that list. You know, there were some playable Landfall cards, and they were really dependent on the fact that we had a fetch format. Outside of fetch lands being legal, I really don't think there were like any good Landfall cards coming out of the Zendikar block. So yeah, when I think about Landfall and Pioneer, there's two cards that come to mind. There's Corsair of Kruphix and there's Tireless Tracker, and neither of them has the word Landfall on it.
Yeah. I think also you could say like Field of the Dead. It should have been like a Landfall card sort of thing.
Oh, sure. That's, you know, that's actually another one. Field of the Dead might even fit even better. That's probably the actual best.
It was too broken maybe in that format, so they decided to, you know, move it back to M20, was it?
Yeah, it took a while before that came out. I don't think that had to do with them being like, oh, it shouldn't be in Zendikar, but you're right that does sort of have a Landfall effect and is another very powerful card not in Zendikar.
I think another thing that I really liked from the plane of Zendikar that that Pioneer has is Elementals. I mean, it's not really good right now, but there was a lot of Elemental support in, you know, from this from this plane.
Okay.
So like we have Risen Reef, which, you know, is really starting to push the envelope on, you know, playing more and more Elementals. We got all those other Elementals from M20 that got reprinted. You've got the Elemental the Cavaliers. I guess you could say the Cavaliers maybe are from
mechanically from, they might be. I think that's maybe a stretch, but I think that could be arguable.
Yeah, so those could also possibly be from Zendikar as well. Not totally sure, but there was always interesting Elementals. They never really saw play, but I think that's something that's unique to Pioneer that could see play in the future.
Yeah, you know, if nothing else, I think that's something that's exciting. That's something I always love is when a tribal deck from one set gets to be playable because of tribal support from other sets in Pioneer.
Oh, Nats seems so good.
And can I go on the opposite side of that? That allies. Oh, my God. Why are there no good allies even in the set? And then there's no allies printed outside of the set. So it's not like... It's doing exactly the opposite of what we want to see. It's like, hey, you know, there was a not even playable deck within it, but oh, here's all these good allies from Kaladesh. Nope. Here's all these good allies from, you know, Return to Ravnica again.
Yeah.
No, so, and on top of that, I think the mechanics specific to allies were very bad. Yeah, cohort is like the worst mechanic of all time.
Yeah, that fell flat on its face. That was just horrible from a design's perspective. But that being said, I did like the, I guess I could say I like the tribal support. I wouldn't say like tribal in general was good, but like the support cards that you got. For example, there was like Drana, which I thought was like a really good, you know, card to play in like vampire decks. You got Kalatis as well, which was like really good for vampire decks, and then it's showing up in Pioneer. What else did we have? Core, not so much. We had the elementals, like I said. There's a lot of elementals in there. Eldrazi could also say is like a tribal thing. Oh, the Reckless Bushwhacker is another really good goblin card. I thought so. There was really good support tribal cards.
Had a couple good humans, maybe.
Yeah. One more thing. We were talking about landfall earlier, so land related. Man lens.
I think that's definitely something on its own. You know, nice little cycle. Definitely usable in Pioneer. Sees play all over the place.
But we only have man lens from Zendikar block. We don't have it from any other set, right?
Not as a cycle. There's a couple of, you know, one offs here and there.
Yeah, we had some of the Desert Worm or something, but they're not really playable.
Mutavault.
Yeah, Mutavault. Sure. Okay. So let's move on to the next thing. I want to talk about what you think the best cards in Pioneer are from the Zendikar
plane. Here's where I can definitely kind of go. You know, what I'm looking at is I'm looking by what's seeing play. And, you know, Mono White Devotion kind of Pioneer decks. Gideon, Ally of Zendikar. This was the number one card from the block, I think, during the standard time. And for a little while, it looked like it was going to drop down in Pioneer, not be that good. But I think it's bounced back and has really found a home for itself. It's looking quite powerful.
So has that actually still seen a lot of play in the White Devotion decks? Or is it more of the Gideon of the Trials now that's kind of taken its spot?
So I think that it plays well. I don't know if it would see as much play if Gideon of the Trials didn't exist, because the fact that Gideon of the Trials exists makes other Gideons in your deck stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I do usually see a couple of it in the main deck of those mono-white ones. And I even see, you know, maybe one to two copies in the sideboard of most blue-white control decks.
Yeah, I would say in controls, any of those white control decks, I would say it's playing like Elspeth and some number of Gideon, Ally of Zendikar as well.
Yeah, you know, personally, I love white X, like non-blue white control decks. So if white black or white red in the future becomes playable, I'd love to see that. And that's the kind of place you find a home there as well.
If we're talking about Zendikar, then we must talk about Inverter of Truth. It's like probably the most impactful card.
That's where this kind of sneaks up on you, is you're like, oh yeah, it was such a non-powerful set, but then like these little things that are such role players in some of the decks that are powerful right now. So Inverter of Truth, that entire deck would not really be possible without the Inverter card.
Yeah.
You know, there's some real convoluted ways. If you saw our brewing episode, I was trying to like self-mill with some real jank. Don't even worry about that. Inverter of Truth is the card here.
Yeah.
You know, I think another one that fits in that example is Sylvan Scrying was only printed in the Zendikar block. And, you know, that's very crucial to the
Lotus Breach,
to the Lotus Breach decks. You know, you can't find Lotus. I think that deck would not be good without Sylvan Scrying.
And that was a really good reprint for that block. It was really excited. I mean, there's a lot of cool cards, cool land cards that you could get with it, but no deck actually was able to take advantage of it until Lotus Breach came out.
Yeah, you know, there were some standard decks. Maybe I'm the only one who's playing big green ramp decks, but there was definitely a standard playable green Sylvan Scrying deck. You know, we would find the lands that were double for colorless creatures or the Sanctum of Ugin.
Yeah, it wasn't a good deck. I remember playing that.
Oh no, that was a real deck. That was a deck that did well in tournaments.
Oh, sorry, someone's at my door. I'm not going to answer though.
All right, not a problem.
All right, so Inverter of Truth, yes, very big card there. What's your next choice?
Ooh, okay. So you already mentioned it, but I think Kalidas needs to be brought up as one of the more expensive cards from this block, and a very powerful one. Still finds its way in plenty of black X decks. just universally powerful, you know, good against aggro strategies, shuts down certain graveyard strategies.
It's powerful so for important. Number of wins. So important for sideboards. Any black strategy, it's just so good. Good, like you said, it's good main or it's good side.
Yeah.
I think wherever you play it. And that's why it's like so expensive now, because, you know, it's a great, great support card.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping it would come down after it's really dropped out of Modern from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of holding its spot there.
I'm missing it. I'm playing Historic now with like my Waste Not deck, and I wish I had Calatis in there, because Calatis with all those zombies is just amazing. Just eats them all up.
That would be good, yeah.
Hopefully. My next choice, as far as like best cards from Zendikar, Bring to Light.
Yes, that's another one I think that, you know, it's one of those small ones, but that deck wouldn't be possible without Bring to Light.
Yeah, the five-color Niv-Mizzet deck. Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably one of the core cards. Could you build Niv-Mizzet, you know, without Bring to Light? Sure. Would it be as powerful? Probably not.
It would be sketchy, but some, you know, I always thought that deck shouldn't be not sketchy anyways, and, you know. I thought Converge was a cool mechanic that they just didn't do quite enough with. Like, Painful Truths was a sweet card. Mm-hmm. I always wanted Radiant to play Flames. Woodland Wanderer.
Four-color, five-color decks are just kind of impossible now to play, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely don't have the support to be real decks, other than, you know, that Niv-Mizzet-type style deck.
Yeah. What was I going to say? There was that four-mana elemental. It's like a 2/2, but like it gets +1/+1 for...
Yeah, Woodland Wanderer. That's the one I was mentioning.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was really interesting back in Standard. I remember people playing it as like a 4/4 or 5/5 sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we really can't...
For me.
Yeah, without the fetch lands in Pioneer, it's really kind of hard to support that kind of card, I think. All right, your turn next. What other cards do you think
are the best from Zendikar? And I had one more that I really wanted pick out, and I'm trying to see where it went now. Oh, yeah, we've got a banned card. We've actually got one and a half banned cards, sort of.
Yeah.
So, Oath of Nissa.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rest of the Oath cycle wasn't, you know, they're not seeing play. I think they were strong in very limited bits, but really Oath of Nissa was the star there.
Mm-hmm.
One mana enchantment. It's banned, and, you know, for a little while I was like, oh man, let's see, you know, now Green's been gotten all these hits. Maybe we can take that off the ban list. I don't think that this can come off the ban list right now. It's still extremely powerful. Yeah, no.
Maybe you have to wait till we get a few more sets in there and the metagame's a little bit more balanced.
Yeah, it's going to take something decently strong to make it that card would be reasonable.
I'm surprised you haven't talked about Ulamog yet. I mean, I thought that would have been like really high on your list. I think
that's a good one. Yeah, go ahead and talk about Ulamog.
So yeah, as far as like finishers, it's probably one of the best, if not the best, finisher in Pioneer. I mean, people like to play Emrakul, but you know, this is just massive. It's 10/10, it mills 20 when it attacks, it exiles two permanents when it comes into play. I think maybe the reason why it's hasn't seen a lot of play recently is because
not on play.
What's up?
No, I'm just, it's on cast. I'm just being a Magic player over here. Don't mind me.
But, like, yeah, everyone likes playing their Sultai Delirium, but they totally forgot about, you know, turn four, Aetherworks Marvel, you know, casting an Ulamog. Maybe it's too slow.
I keep trying it.
I mean, Eldrazi Ramp is still kind of a thing if you play, like, the Simic version with Uro.
Yeah.
But it's not really the main focus. I miss the days of you know, Standard during Battle for Zendikar when you could play like the red green with like Atarka and Ulamog and, you know, Worldbreaker together and just ramp into all those things.
Yeah, you know, Worldbreaker was going to get a mention for me. That's a very good anti-control card coming out of the green ramp decks. On that line, I was also going to mention the Eldrazi Obligator was seeing some play in the mono red decks. That's kind of cool.
I wouldn't say they're the best cards, but I would put them in my honorable mentions.
Yeah, I think that all of those kind of there was kind of a cycle of really strong, colorless but colored Eldrazi. I feel like I put the Displacer in the same set.
I think if I was gonna add another Eldrazi to my top 10 list, would probably Thought Not Seer. You know, just to be able to
this
give.
Was just a cycle of they were colored with colorless activation costs. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I would rank that above like the other Eldrazi, I think. Because this has actually seen some play, like in that mono red Eldrazi version, like you said, with Obligator as well.
Yeah.
So it fits into mono black in some of those decks. So coming
back to the point that you ignored, of I was like, hey, we've got 1.5 banned cards.
Yeah, what's the other half
being that Reflector Mage was banned in Standard, is not banned in Pioneer.
Yeah, I was going to talk about
and
that.
And it is still, you know, hiding under the radar. I think for a few sets now I've been, or a few podcasts now I've been like, you know, when that Reflector Mage comes back, it's gonna show some people what's up.
Is it good? Really, I mean,
I think there's situations where it's good. I think that early in this season, when there was a lot of decks trying to, like, you know, play a single Niv-Mizzet and stabilize on that, or play a single Inverter and stabilize on that, it had a decent spot of being able to, you know, just bounce that and continue your aggressive plan. I think right now it's really being held back by, you know, Bant not being a very easy color to play with.
We need those pain lands, probably, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know, something to make Tricolor more accessible.
Or even the fast lands would be great. I think we're going to see a lot more company decks in the next few months here when we get those reprints.
I'm hoping those reprints. we'll see what the next sets bring us.
As far as power level, though, I mean, right now people are playing Bant Spirits, as like probably one of the best collected company decks out there.
Yeah,
we haven't really seen Bant Humans. I mean, what would Bant Humans need to kind of...
Literally just mana. It just needs some mana. You know, they've got a little bit too... You know, it's hard to play Tireless Tracker and, like, Benelish Marshall in the same deck. And Collected Company and blue cards. Like, being blue, white, splashing green, I think is a lot easier than what the Humans wants to do, which is kind of be white, splashing green, and blue.
Yeah, I literally think like most of these decks are like just one or two, dual mana off. You know, if there was just a few, maybe three or four more lands that they had that could make either this color or this color, they would be playable.
Yeah, so all we need is like, Noble Hierarch.
Yeah, maybe Noble Hierarch. Could it be? I don't know. Would that be too strong? I'm not sure.
Yes, that would. Well, okay, it would be awesome. I don't know if that means it's too strong, but. It would be awesome.
Okay, so you talked about Reflector Mage. I'm going to talk about one of my old favorites. I think Reckless Bushwhacker is a great card.
Okay, yeah, we kind of brought that up as a goblin card, but definitely worth mentioning.
I mean, this is just good in all types of red aggro decks. I've seen a lot of the go-wide strategies. Some people playing like a Tarka's Command with like the, Dragon Fodder.
Yeah.
I think just the go-wide strategies with Reckless Bushwhacker to kind of help with your go-wide.
Hopefully we're bringing some people being like, oh man, yeah, that card. I should go back and try with something with that card.
Yeah,
I had a really pile of those cards in my...
I was going to say in Frontier, I had really good success with tokens, you know, playing Reckless Bushwhacker, just going wide and giving everybody +++, you know, and attacking. So yeah, that's a card I think kind of underrated. But I think it has a lot of possibilities in the Pioneer format.
All right. Only card I can think of left on my list was Zulaport Cutthroat. And it really only gets a mention because the more Blood Artist effects you have, the better. And Zulaport's another one of them.
Really? So you're totally going to skip out on Nissa, Voice of Zendikar?
Oh, I thought we talked about Nissa. Yeah, no. Nissa deserves a mention. When tokens were good, when... she gives
Hardened
a good
scales.
Devotion when Hardened Scales was good. Yeah, strong card. Nissa's really strong turn two, especially in a fair format where people are playing ground creatures and trying to swing through. We've moved away from that a little bit, I think, right now, but definitely will stick around.
Yeah. And other cards that I think, you know, just kind of like other honorable mentions, like you were talking about earlier about how, you know, Inverter totally slipped under the radar. People totally did not see how powerful it would become.
Well, I think another one wasn't powerful until it had the combination.
I think another one of those cards from the Zendikar block that might kind of be underrated is the Sylvan Advocate, the 2/3 that gives all your land creatures +2/+2 if you have six.
Yeah, well, it also becomes a 4-5 vigilance itself.
Yeah, and a 4-5.
And that has definitely just, you know, green beaters are just at a weak place in Pioneer.
Yeah.
You know, we've got stronger green beaters, I think, than Sylvan Advocate, and they're not seeing play. So, you know, maybe if we saw a Tarmogoyf, it might see play, but even then, I think we'll get walled a little bit.
But I still think it has potential, especially when we're going back to Zendikar, we might get some more land matters cards. So
that would be nice. Yeah. So let's kind of move into that. Let's start to talk about, you know, I think the first thing I want to really touch on is, you know, we talked about the themes from the actual block we got that move forward into Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
What themes did you want to see from the old Zendikar that we either didn't see or, you know, went in a totally different direction? What would you like to see brought back as a like broader theme, not specific cards?
Well, like you were talking about before with the allies, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a few more of those, maybe some reprints from some older stuff, or maybe just like a better, you know, better ally cards that have like ally matters, you know, themes or something like that. I think that would be a interesting tribal strategy.
Okay.
Or just maybe more tribal cards in general.
I think they've got good tribes. You know, they've got merfolk, they've got elves, they've got cool elves, they've got vampires. Mm-hmm.
Get core, like Pulse Tracker, you know, something like that would be really cool to have back. And if we're talking about like reprints and whatnot. But yeah, I think that would be my first choice, would be just to kind of flesh out the tribal strategies a little bit more in the next set.
Yeah. So for me, I think I really want to see the exploration portion of it. So that was what was so exciting from what I understand about original Zendikar, you know, all of these lands and, you know, going out and setting forth on an adventure, the exploration cards, getting to see a big world, and, you know, every color going to do something big with big mana. I would like to see something like that. We didn't really see that in Zendikar, Battle for Zendikar block.
Now, by the exploring, do you mean like the adventure cards, the ones where you put the counters on them, do you mean? Like that?
Yeah, you know, it really told a story of, like, going out and finding big new lands, seeing new things.
Like the Colony Hearts Expedition or something like that?
Oh, certainly, that was a good one. That one still sees play.
Pyromancer's Ascension?
Mm-hmm.
Like those types of cards? Yeah, I would love to see those again, actually. Hopefully those will get a reprint. Or some new ones,
even. Yeah, something like that. You know, and make landfall good, make big mana good. That's all I want.
Yeah, I would like some better landfall cards, definitely. I think we need the more manlands as well.
Yes, maybe that would be sweet.
The other colors. Are the ones from the original Zendikar too strong for Pioneer?
Like, they would be Celestial a little Colony bit warping, I think. You know, the fact that Celestial Colony specifically would be so good in the existing blue-white deck makes me a little scared. Other than that, you know, we'd see the blue-black one played in blue-black. We'd see, what else are we missing? You know, there's no real black-red decks.
Yeah.
Red-green, you know, the red-green decks, there's not many of them, and they'd be kind of slow for it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. Then what am I missing? Green-white?
Yeah.
Oh, what is the green-white one even?
The Wirewood yeah. Something? Yeah, I forgot what it was. But yeah, it was like a reach, I think, like a... Is it a 2/3? I can't remember.
Yeah, not the most exciting one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, some of those weren't too powerful, but like you said, Celestial Colonnade would probably not get a reprint. The other ones, yeah, I think...
And you can't really do one without the other, so they'd have to do something different. Maybe they'd have to be... Yeah.
Slightly, I don't know, less powerful.
Maybe they can tap for, you know, if it's a blue-white or colorless, and then they have something more Eldrazi-related. I don't know.
What about dual lands that are mana creatures? Or that are man creatures? Or man lands? So, like, it's a forest, plains.
Yikes. No.
Always taps in, no matter what. And then it can be used, you know, for that. So you can search it up. Would that be, like, too crazy? Would that be too powerful?
I'm just worried about older formats where you can, you know, fetch for them.
Yeah. That would be so cool, though. Fetch for my creature here? Yeah. Now, if you don't have fetched lands... You know, in Pioneer, it would be totally fine.
I suppose.
And, you know, but you can you can search for it with something like Traverse Uvenwald, maybe.
Yeah. All right. So story-wise, if you're thinking about Pioneer and, you know, the story in the future, and we're going back to Zendikar, do you want to see it be more Eldrazi? Do you want to see it more like, oh, let's mess up the Eldrazi here on Zendikar still? Or do you want it to be about, like, the big world with all these plants and monsters and endless exploration, because I'm definitely on the latter side.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more towards, like, probably like the original Zendikar. Not so much world, maybe World Wake a little bit, as like all the elemental creatures, elemental creatures were waking up and whatnot. yeah, I think I'd like to see, like you said, the big behemoths, the big creatures. There's still some Eldrazi left. Like we had Yarok, I think, from M20. He's kind of like an elemental creature that was infected by the Eldrazi. So like we're kind of seeing not the side effects, but like the how can I say, the aftermath of, you know, what the Eldrazi left behind.
Well, I think most importantly, we have to see Omnath again, see which color he's picked up next.
Is he? You think he's going to get another reprint?
I think at this point it's almost a meme. Like they've got to do a like 4-color Omnath.
Because I mean, they just played him, or they just printed him in M20. I'm hoping, like, if we're just talking like in general about like what we'd like to see in the next set, I want to see elementals actually be playable.
Okay.
You know, just something that, you know, could bring the old ones from Battle for Zendikar, you know, kind of together, you know, to actually make some semblance of a deck that's competitive.
That'd be cool.
Especially with Risen Reef. Sorry.
Yeah, I love Risen Reef.
And if we're making predictions, I definitely think they're going to finish the Tango lands in this next set.
I could see that. Yeah. You think they're going to be in this next set, or you think they're going to be the next time we go to Zendikar?
Well, in the next Zendikar set, I mean. Because we're going to Zendikar sometime at the end of this year, right?
I think so. That might be true. I should probably double check that. Or I should probably just, you know that.
Yeah, I think it's like Ikoria, and then we get a core set.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Ikoria, the fall or the winter Zendikar sets can be Zendikar.
Okay, so we could be talking about it end of this year.
Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to kind of talk about as far as like things you like to see in the new set
I've kind of touched on it. You know, I want to see them do just better. Like, I'm excited to see what their modern design can do with what is a world I like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make landfall playable cards, make ally playable cards, you know, other cool things with Hedrons were kind of cool.
Like, I think maybe they could do some kind of landfall thing with, like, just basic lands, maybe. So when people are fetching, you know, it's not so broken. Like, whenever a basic land comes into play, this happens. Or a non-basic land.
Yeah, and they started to play with that. There was that cycle that I always tried to make the white one playable. You know, there was something where, like, if you get a forest, it's 2 counters instead of one. I think that those were all priced to be around, like, what did they call them back then? Welcome deck packs or something like that. Either, you know, there was always the like one bulk rare of every color that was meant to be
It was probably like 5 or 6 mana to cast.
Yeah, so if it had been a 4 mana creature with the same stats, it'd have been a cool card.
Yeah. Got it. Well, I think that pretty much all I wanted to talk about Zendikar. Sorry, pretty much all I wanted to talk about Zendikar today. So,
any last predictions? Anything else that you're like, oh, this card, it was from Zendikar, hasn't seen play yet, it's going to be the next...
Maybe we'll get the level up back? That was kind of a cool... That was kind of cool.
I was going to say, like, a specific card. I was like, ooh, you think Drowner of Truth? You know, we're going to see the Brood Commander combo? Anything like that? Yeah, I don't have anything big right now.
Yeah. I'm fine with Noel Drazi in this next set.
Ooh, Oblivion Sower. Oh, no, I'm more thinking of, like, what's going to have an impact on Pioneer. Any secret cards that are under your radar, or like on your radar that are under other people's radar?
That are kind of currently, you mean?
Just tell me about your radar.
From Zendikar. Yeah. Currently from Zendikar, I don't think there's really anything that's under the radar. Like I said, just those cards are kind of, they're underplayed right now because they don't have a home, you know, like the Sylvan Advocates or something like that. So,
oh, you know what we didn't mention was processing. I'd love to see more processors.
Is that the one with the
weird ones that moved things from exile into play or into their graveyard?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that might be good against Eldrazi. I don't know, but you need like a more powerful ingesting effect.
Yeah, you need them to be...
Like, it has to put all of their exiled cards back into their graveyard.
Oh, well, no, I don't want that. I mean, you could want that, but yeah.
Or choose any number.
Something like that.
Yeah, so like give them back all their lands or something from their graveyard. Blow them up. Put in their graveyard or something. But that would be cool to be an inverter. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe.
All right.
All right. So, ready to finish this up?
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap this up. So, let's do some shout-outs. So, I'm Kevin Finkel. If you guys missed that, you guys can find me on Twitter at MTG Pioneer.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah, go ahead. We can then talk about our mutual stuff.
Yeah, so you can also find me on you can find me on Twitter at Yoschwenky, Yoschwenky, as well as my website, www.thejapanhobbyist.com.
So, yeah, sorry, you can also find, MTG Pioneer is a subreddit that I help. I'm a moderator for that, as well as for the associated Discord, the MTG Pioneer Discord. I know that you're big on the Facebook group for MTG Pioneer. So if you guys hopefully have seen us out there and hopefully have decided to check us out and give us a listen to see what what's interesting in Pioneer, and we're the ones talking about it all the time, only Pioneer. We also have our own Discord if you guys want to follow along. We're doing our first live show if anyone wanted to be listening into that. I think we've got not much here, but you know, we are the first Pioneers, so we've got the first Pioneers Discord, and we're going to be linked to that below. So if you guys were listening to this as a recording, maybe you can check out our next one live and be there, be able to ask us questions, do anything kind of thing fun like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We're going to be probably talking about a little bit more competitive Magic next week, if there's anything to talk about. Otherwise, we might be going our other way into new cards. So exciting things coming up soon. But for now, I am Kevin Finkel. My co-host here was Ryan Schwenke, and we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We keep Ryan our Schwenk. Listeners up to... We used to add the E. I'm not adding E. Okay, we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And we are signing off.